Okay, your apprenticeship's finished. So did national service then affect you?
No, it didn't actually. Luckily, I think. I mean, there was no war on. Everybody hated national service. It just took it as an intrusion on their life. And anyway, at the medical, I failed the medical through my hearing, and it hasn't improved over the years. So that was the end of that. Much to my joy, I raced home full of beans, bought a ticket for a show, took my then girlfriend to a show, and that was it.
Okay, well, thank you for that then, David. So national service didn't get in your way then, so I assume then you stayed on at Fieldings.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I stayed on there till 1958, I think it was. So that would be 3 years after I finished apprenticeship. No, 2 years. No, yes. Yeah. Work was, it's obvious that work was getting a bit short. Some of the jobs we were doing were not really urgent jobs, and some of the men were doing side jobs for directors and whatever. I remember a kitchen unit being made by somebody. And so obviously work was getting very short, and I'll mention him again. The foreman was very strict and quite not very pleasant character, and I was finding my feet by then, and I got a bit stroppy and a bit quite fank, and we had an all up and down row over something or other, and a couple of weeks later he discovered he had too many men working in the shop, and I was made redundant. But I think it would have happened anyway, because as I said, the work was getting very short at the time. And a couple of others were made redundant at the same time, so perhaps it wasn't just personal or not. I don't know. So,
Okay, but thank you for that. Was it just digressing just for a moment? Did you find it difficult to get another job in your profession?
no, I had a choice of several actually, including a job at a joinery works, which I could have taken, but I didn't take it up. Actually, I went to Gloucester Foundry. Which a pattern shop at Gloucester Foundry. Gloucester Foundry is absolutely different. It's different as it possibly could be to Fieldings work. It's all very small work, mass production, which meant the patterns had to be extremely accurate, and mostly metal pattern making actually. Yes, we made our own wooden patterns, which were known as master patterns, which had a double contraction, double everything up on it, which we had our own little foundry brought. Aluminium foundry in the pattern shop where patterns were cast, and then we machine them and fold them up ourselves. And my, of course, my machine shop experience from Fieldings helped me a great deal on that, and I found I fitted in quite well. But as I say, the work was entirely different.
Okay, well, thank you for that, and David. Just going back to to Fieldings and David. Obviously, you mentioned being made redundant. Was that the sort of saddest moment of your time there, or was there anything else particularly that you can remember?
No, I don't think there's much else I've missed out actually. I mean, things went on pretty well, much the same from day to day. I mean.
So I then worked. You then went on and worked down at Gloucester Foundry. How did it rate compared with Fieldings as a company to work for? Have you got any like to make a little comment about that?
Well, the work situation was entirely different, of course, because it was a foundry, and a lot of the work was actually repair work from the foundry. The patterns have been in through the foundry. The conditions were much, much worse. Foundry sand is filthy black stuff. It's more like soot. It gets continually used over and over again, and it's burnt. You see, it gets burnt, and it's very dirty stuff to handle. And of course, the pattern shop itself, through no fault of the company, actually, it was a very dirty place. I wore overalls, or fitter's overalls. As I say, the work was metal, almost all metal work. The company itself, I discovered that Fieldings had been working one on us over holiday pay all the time we were there. The Fieldings wages were, as I said before, probably quite generous. They were made up of two components, a basic wage and a bonus. The basic wage was around about £6, and the bonus, which was continuous, was added onto that, made it up to about 12.50 or whatever it was at the time. Holiday time, we only got the bonus. No, we only got the basic wage, sorry. So in effect, we only had half wages for the holiday period. But when I went to Gloucester Foundry, I found it, much to my surprise, I had a 4 weeks' wages on a holiday. And, oh, so obviously they've been twisting us a little bit because of the way they made the wages up. It, quite legal, I suppose, and it looked... but anyway, that's about the working conditions. I say, because it was a foundry, we're not so good anyway, but most factories were pretty poor, the conditions for the men anyway. I mean, at Fielding's, the lavatories were a tin shed underneath the Blinken Railway Bridge. I don't think there was any heating in there. It's probably to discourage men hanging about there too long. But it was that sort of situation. You know, very almost 19th century in a way, I suppose.
Okay, you made some mention of your foreman, but and you made some mentions about the directors coming round. But what do you think of the management generally? Did they run the place okay? Did you think, or what?
I don't know about that because, as I say, the pattern making was so different and so cut off from the rest of the works. It's I don't think I can make any comment. I didn't realise that none of the management knew anything about pattern making or foundry work because it used to amuse us. They would bring visitors round and try to explain how this, that, and went that, and they got it all racked to front and upside down and completely wrong. So it's obvious they didn't know what they were talking about, but but they were probably knew about engineering. But anyway, as I said, I got no real comment about that actually. I can mention that Carpenter's shop was adjacent to the pattern shop.
Yeah, that's okay. No, I was just thinking you obviously could name all the guys in the pattern shop you worked with, so the camaraderie between you was pretty good, was it?
Yes, it was, yes. Yeah. Yeah. There was the usual sort of bit of backbiting or whatever, but yeah. As you get in any sort of community. But generally speaking, we all got on together well. Because the patterns were so big, very rarely one man did the whole job. It was usually given to a man to sort out the beginning, one man, and he'd got sort of three quarters of the way through the job, and gradually he gets people brought in on it to help him out, because even simple lifting and turning the stuff over, you know, it was laborious. I mean, we had a crane in the workshop, which is small for Fielding standards, but I think it was about 1.5 ton crane, gantry crane, which was unusual in a pattern shop anyway.
Well, you did 7 years at Fielding's then. Do you ever keep in contact with any of the people that you worked with there, David?
No. I did, after I left, I did Mac Wall, unfortunately, who I made some previously. I got on very well with, because I worked with him as an apprentice and by the side of him as a skilled man. Most of my time there. He unfortunately suffered a stroke just before I left. And I did visit him in his house for a couple of years after that. But I, as the years went on, gradually, it failed off. And I don't recollect. Lionel, again, I had contact with a lot because he was very keen on church bells and whatever, ring on his local church. And a friend of mine had a tape recorder and Lionel had relatives abroad and we used to go around recording his church bell. So I did see a lot of Lionel. I think that's about all, actually. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much, David, for that. That was most interesting. And thank you for your and your dear wife for your hospitality and your time.